Remember that scare we had with Gage when he was 9 months old?
Oh, God, yeah. The CAT scan. And that terrible wait in the hospital. I remember the whole thing like it was yesterday. Why?
Well, if things had turned out differently, if it hadn't been a false alarm, could you still have left him?
What a weird question, Lewis.
Now, could you?
Yes, of course. I'd have loved Gage no matter what.
Even if he was retarded? Damaged?
Yeah. Lewis, why are you asking me this now?
I guess I was just thinking about Zelda. Let's go to sleep. You gotta be up early to catch that plane.
I'll check the bags.
Okay, hon. So, Ellie, you think you're gonna have a good time in Chicago?
No.
No? Why not?
Well, last night, I dreamed we were at Gage's funeral, and the funeral man opened his coffin, and it was empty. Then I was at home, and I looked in Gage's bed, and that was empty, too. But there was dirt in it.
Well, they're just dreams, Ellie. Just dreams.
I wish you were coming with us, or that we were staying here. Can we stay, Daddy, please? I don't want to go to Grandma and Granddad's. I just want to go home. Please, Daddy, please.
It's only for a little while, Ellie. I've got things to do here. Then I'll be with you. And we'll all be together. As I left the airport, I knew for the first time with absolute certainty that I was going to go through with it. I was going to resurrect my son. I drove across the Penobscot Bridge into Brewer and parked outside Watson's Hardware.
Can I help you, sir?
I'd like a flashlight. Biggest you've got. And something to hood it with.
Oh, gonna jacklight a few deer tonight.
I've got a septic tank to dig up. Seems I'm in violation of the zoning ordinances. If I'm caught, it'll mean a hefty fine.
I see. You could hood this with a piece of felt. Poke a hole in it. It'll cut down the beam.
Can you sell me the felt?
Sure.
I also need a pick and a shovel. 4 yards of rope and a canvas tarpaulin, say 8x8.
It wouldn't be dark for hours, but I couldn't go home in case I met Judd. If he saw I was alone, he'd be suspicious. So I drove back to Bangor and checked into a motor lodge not far from the Pleasant View Cemetery.
No luggage, Mr. Cobain?
Oh, I've got luggage. Right now it's on the plane to New York. Damn baggage handlers.
Oh, no.
As I lay back on the bed in that anonymous motel room, I felt unplugged from everyone and everything that was dear and familiar to me. Family, friends, work. I closed my eyes, and the faces loomed. Rachel, Judd, Ellie, Steve. And suddenly a bizarre thought struck me. Before I saw any of those faces again, I would see the face of my son.
Help me. It's Gage.
Ellie, wake up. Come on. Mommy's here.
He's alive.
Ellie.
Got the knife from Daddy's bed.
Ellie.
Anything I can do, ma'am?
No, I don't think so. She's just having a bad dream.
Don't let him get Daddy.
Hey.
Don't let him get Daddy.
Ellie, it's okay. You're with me. Come on, you're on the plane. We'll soon be in Chicago. You're safe, Ellie. Oh, Ellie, you're safe.
I lay there and went over the plan in my mind. I studied it from all angles.
Okay. Tonight, sometime after 11, I break into Pleasant View Cemetery and dig up the grave. I raise the grave liner, remove Gage's body from his coffin, wrap it in the tarp, and drive home and take a long walk in the woods. What about after, when Gage comes back? He returns. A little slow, maybe. He might be okay, just as he was. It's possible. But still Gage, your son, Ellie's brother. But what if some sort of monster comes back? What then? And you'll make a diagnosis. You're a doctor, for God's sake. You'll judge your ability to reintegrate Gage into the family based on what you see over say 24 hours.
Yeah, and if I don't like what I see, huh? If Gage comes back like Timmy Baderman,
then you'll kill him.
Kill Gage?
It wouldn't be Gage. It'd be like destroying a rat-carrying plague. You'll give him, it, a shot of morphine. Take the body back to Pleasant View, rebury it, fly out to Chicago. No one will ever know. But it won't be like that. You know it won't. Gage will still be Gage.
Suppose that's true. Gage passes his exam. What then?
You'll leave Ludlow together, empty every bank account you have, fly somewhere. Florida, maybe. Check into a motel, then you'll call Rachel.
For God's sake, Lewis, what are you doing in Orlando?
Don't ask. Just bring Ellie and come. Now, this minute. You'll be waiting in the motel room. Rachel and Ellie will arrive in a rented car.
Lewis! Lewis, are you there?
Daddy, we're here! We're here!
You'll bring Gage to the door, throw it open, and... But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't imagine what came next. So I went over the plan one more time.
Do you feel better now, honey?
Not really.
Ellie, what's wrong? Can you tell me?
I don't know, but something's wrong. Something with Daddy. It was in my dream. About Gage. Or was it church?
Tell me about your dream.
I was in the pet cemetery. Paxcow took me there. He said Daddy was going to go there and something terrible would happen.
You dreamed someone named Paxcow took you to the pet cemetery?
He said that was his name and...
What?
He said he was sent to warn. He couldn't interfere. He was helping Daddy because they were together when... Oh, Mommy, I can't remember.
Oh, Ellie, I'm sure Daddy is fine. I think you dreamed about the pet cemetery because you're thinking about Gage. Do you feel any better now?
No, I'm scared. Aren't you scared, Mommy?
Come on. Let's go and find Grandma and Granda.
She looks so pale, poor dear.
It's nervous exhaustion.
He was wearing shorts.
Who was, honey?
Paxcow. He was wearing jogging shorts.
It was just a freshman, Victor Paxcow, jogging on campus in a car plowed into him.
Paxcow. Ellie, the man in your dream, did he tell you his first name?
Mommy, are you
alright? Did he tell you his first name?
Yes, Victor. His name was Victor. Mommy? Did you dream him too?
No, Paxcow, Ellie, Paxcow.
Paxcow, that's it.
What's going on here?
I don't know. Rachel, what is it?
Is something the matter with Ellie?
No, it's not Ellie, Dad. It's Lewis, I think. Something's wrong or something's going to be wrong. Would you stay with Ellie? I've got to call home. Come on, Lewis. Come on.
Rachel, who's this... Paxcow, Ellie keeps talking
about.
It
was the student who was killed last year on Lewis's first day.
Hmm. How does Ellie know about it?
She doesn't. Not from us, anyway. I kept it from her.
Maybe she heard the name on the radio or at school.
Damn. Damn! Lewis isn't home. Mm-hmm. Would you go back to Mom and Ellie, Dad, please?
Judd Crandall speaking.
Judd, have you seen Lewis today?
Can't say I have, Rachel. Why do you ask?
No, it may be nothing, but Ellie had a dream on the plane.
Plane? Rachel, where are you?
Chicago. Ellie and I came back with my parents.
Lewis didn't go with you?
He's going to join us later.
Was it his idea that you should leave?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it was, Judd. What's wrong? Something is wrong, isn't it? Judd, tell me, please.
First... You tell me about your daughter's dream.
When Rachel and I were done, I crossed over to Lewis's house. I could feel the Mi'kmaq burying ground calling to me. Once his voice had been dreamy and comforting, now he was low and grim. Stay out of this, old man, or else. Lewis's Honda was gone from his garage. Without much hope, I leaned on the bell. Then went round the back. How about that? World's oldest burglar.
Lewis? Lewis?
I didn't find the worst signs. Gage's clothes folded and ready, his toys laid out like Christmas. Even so, the house had a sort of blank feel, as if it was waiting to be filled with, well, with something. I went home again, took a six-pack out of the fridge, sat in the window, and waited.
Yeah, can I have that medium rare and fries and a salad?
Would you like to see the dessert menu now, sir, or leave it till later?
The food in the motel dining room was plentiful and dull, exactly what my body seemed to want. I sat near the door, half expecting, half hoping, to see someone I knew. That would lead to questions, complications, and maybe that's what I wanted. A way out. But I didn't see anyone.
You're what?
I'm going back home, Mom.
Oh, Mama, yes!
Rachel, you're upset. You and Ellie both. After a night's
sleep... Dad, Mom, I'm sorry, but I have to go home. And if I can get a plane, I'm going tonight.
Tonight? No. Rachel, honey, this is a reaction to Gage's death. Understandable.
Dad, be quiet.
Would you believe?
Can you understand? I can't.
Delta Airlines, Kim speaking. May I help you?
I have to get from Chicago to Bangor tonight. Can you check the connections?
It's very short notice.
Please, it's an emergency.
Okay. Hold the line, ma'am.
Don't let them stop you, Mommy.
No way, kid. It's important, isn't it?
Yes.
Can you tell me any more? Is it just the dream?
No. It's everything now. It's like a...
Like a wind. Yes. Yes, I can.
Still there, ma'am?
Still here.
I think you can make Bangor, but you'll get in late, and there's a lot of very tight connections.
Back in my motel room, I watched 8 half-hour comedy shows back-to-back until 11 o'clock. And I got off the bed and went out to do...
Gage!
What I guess I'd been fated to do from that very first moment. The tree-lined street that runs alongside Pleasant View Cemetery was deserted. I parked my car in a wing of darkness between two street lamps and got my tools out of the trunk. Looked around, then tossed the heavy canvas roll over the fence. Headlights. As the car crawled towards me, a flashlight beam stabbed out and flickered over the wrought iron fence. Cops checking the cemetery. My heart pounding, I stepped behind a tree. And watched until the red taillights vanished around the corner. There was a thick branch directly above me, extending clear over the fence. I began to climb.
No! Knee! My knee! God!
Doesn't matter. You're in. I located my tools wrapped in the tarp. Then I walked, or rather limped, over to Gage's grave. The headstone was in place. It read simply, Gage William Creed, followed by two dates, not so very far apart.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Portland flight's gone.
Gone? It's gone?
It rolled out onto the runway 3 minutes ago. If it's any consolation, ma'am, you made a hell of a good try.
God! Oh, no! Oh.
Seems like you really have to be in Portland, huh?
Bangor. Changing planes in Portland.
Why not rent a car and drive to Bangor? You'd be there by morning.
I'd recommend a hotel, but if ever I saw a lady who looked like she really had to be somewhere...
I'm that lady. Thanks!
It takes a crane and a gang of navvies to open a ceiling vault, but a graveliner... One guy with a pick and shovel could do it, if he was determined.
Damn right there, Judd.
And there was the coffin. The coffin I'd last seen at the gravesite at Gage's funeral. The safety deposit box in which I was supposed to bury all my ambitions and hopes for my son.
Oh, no, I'm gonna break you out of there, Gage. I'm gonna get you out of there.
Whoa, what are you doing? Get a grip. Smash the catches with the spade. Open the lid. Gently. It's Gage in that box.
Oh, my God. His head is gone.
No, that's impossible. Look again. Look again. It was some kind of moss growing on Gage's skin. So dark it looked black. Gently, I used my handkerchief to wipe it off.
Gage, I'm gonna take you out of there now, okay? It'll be all right. I swear, Gage, this will end soon. I love you, son. Daddy loves you.
I've no idea how long I sat there rocking my son in my arms. Eventually, I got up, laid Gage on the tarpaulin, wrapped it around him, and bound it with tape. Then I threw the graveliner into the hole and shoveled back the dirt. When Gage's grave looked more or less as it had before, I slung the tools over my shoulder, lifted the stiff canvas roll gently in my aching arms, and went to find a way out.
Hmm? What? Oh, no.
Has he come home yet?
No. Rachel, where are you? You sound closer.
I am closer. I'm at the Biddeford rest area on the main turnpike. I couldn't stay in Chicago. Whatever got to Elliot, it was getting to me, too. Judd, what's going on? You must tell me.
I will. The whole story, I promise. But not on the phone.
Oh, please.
Rachel... Check into a motel. Get some rest.
I can't rest.
Well, when you get to Ludlow, come straight here. Don't go home first. And I'll see you tomorrow. I went into the kitchen and brewed a pot of strong coffee. Took it back to the window and sat, sipping, watching. It kept me awake for a while, but then I began to nod again. I fought it hard. I could feel the power of the Micmac burying ground sending me to sleep, hypnotizing me. Because Lewis was coming back and he wanted me out of the game.
Half an hour after leaving Pleasant View, I turned off the highway and into my garage. 10 minutes later, I left the house carrying 2 canvas bundles. One slung over my shoulder, the other cradled in my arms. The path to the pet cemetery glowed in the darkness.
I'm not so sure this is such a good idea, Lewis. What if we get lost?
Hey, come on, city girl, we won't get lost. I've got a native guide.
I reached the pet cemetery, dropped my tools, and collapsed, holding the rolled-up tarp carefully across my knees.
'86 to 1989, he was obedient.
I got up, like an old man, picked up my burdens, and walked over to the deadfall.
You must not go beyond this, no matter how much you feel the need.
Just follow Lewis. Don't falter, don't hold on to anything. Don't look down. I know the way, but it has to be done quick and sure.
Exit, Cumberland, Falmouth,
Jerusalem's Lot. If living were a thing that I could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. All my trials long to Lois. Oh, God!
In some places, the path was so narrow I had to turn sideways to stop my bundle getting tangled in the brush. I seemed in the grip of a dream. Every so often, I looked down to check the body in my arms was a dead child in a tarpaulin, and not a dead cat in a green hefty bag. At last, my steps turned downward into the little god swamp.
This is like the deadfall, Lewis. Gotta go steady and easy. Keep our heads.
Mist swirled around me, glowing and pulsing like the beat of a strange heart.
Helm carries.
Yeah, right, Judd. Just the...
God. Oh, my dear God.
I fell to my knee, clutching to my chest. But that was the Wendigo. A creature that stalks the North Country. That can touch you and make you a cannibal.
Steps here. Cut into the rock. When we get to the top, we're there.
Micmac burial ground. I stood on that weird, bare, swaying with exhaustion. For the first time, I saw that the cairns, every one of them, had been burst apart, as the thing buried beneath had come back to life and clawed its way out.
There, Gage. Feel the power? Not long now. Not long.
Miss, huh? Could you fill it up again, please?
Never knew our coffee was addictive before. You must be onto your second gallon.
Where is this?
You don't know where you are?
No, I've been driving most of the night. I kind of lost track.
You're 2 miles out of Pittsfield.
So, Bangor would be...
60 miles straight up the road.
I don't remember walking back from the burial ground any more than I did that first time with Judd. I've got a dim memory of the deadfall. And the next thing I knew, I was in my kitchen, with Church looking at me out of those dull yellow eyes.
Go on, scat! Get out of here!
I just wanted to fall straight into bed, fully clothed, sleep forever, and not dream. But first I opened my black bag. There were syringes and several ampules of morphine. I snapped the bag shut, put it by the bed, and slept.
No. No!
Just before dawn, while I was still snoring in my chair by the window, there were footsteps outside Lois's room. Slow, clumsy. A smell came with them. A stench. Even asleep, Lois tried to turn away. A shadow entered his bedroom, opened Lois's bag, tossed aside drugs, bandages, syringes, till it found what it was looking for, then held it up.
Yes.
So that it gleamed silver in the early morning light. Then the shadow left and came to pay me a call. Lois? Oh, my God. Timmy Bateman. Gage? Gage, is that... Out of here. Think, you stupid old man. Julie. It may have come back, but you can still kill it. A knife. You need a knife.
It was then the Gage came into the room. Oh, what used to be Gage. Moss grew on his burying suit, fouled his white shirt. His fine blonde hair was caked with dirt. One eye stared off into space. The other was fixed on me.
Hello, Jed.
Come on. Come and get me, whatever you are.
I've come to send your rotten old soul straight to hell.
Yeah. Well, that's a place you know all about, ain't it?
I've been there. I saw Numa. She's burning down there, Jed.
No.
Yes, because she did it with all your friends upstairs.
No!
In your bed. What do you think of that, Jed?
You're lying!
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that? I knew all about your whores, Judson. But you never knew you married one, did you? The biggest whore of all. What do you think of that?
Stop it. Stop it, you little... Cat, get off!
Ted! Ah! No, it's your turn to be it.
Oh, Lord, sweet Lord.
It.
Okay, try it now, ma'am.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much. I just didn't know what I was going to do.
That's nothing. The kid could have fixed it. The distributor cable was right off. But it's queer. Looks to me like someone's been messing with it.
It was 5 a.m. when I turned off the interstate onto Route 15 and headed for Ludlow. The coffee had woken me up a lot. I wasn't the slightest bit dozy, but I had that crazy feeling that I was being manipulated. The cable coming off like that, holding me up just long enough.
Long enough for what?
Long enough for something terrible to happen. Be careful, Mommy. Please, be careful.
20 minutes later, I pulled up outside that old white frame house that I'd first seen on that August day, such a long, long time ago.
When you get to Ludlow, come straight here. Don't go home first.
Judd? Judd, are you home? Judd! I glanced down. There were muddy footprints on the porch. The tracks of small feet. Tracks that were the size of Gage's feet. I looked at them, and I suddenly felt very afraid. Judd? Church? What are you doing in here? Backed away into a wall and a picture fell down. It was Oz the Great and Terrible. It smashed. And I ran out of the room screaming, Zelda's dead! Zelda's dead! Zelda's dead! Judd? Judd, where are you?
Dreams about what?
About Zelda. She's coming to get me. She engaged for letting them both die. Judd, is that you? Judd.
I finally came back for you, Rachel, like I promised.
Zelda.
Hello, Mommy.
Gage? Gage! Oh, my darling.
I've got a surprise for you, Mommy. A big, shiny surprise. Which hand is it in, Mommy? Come on, guess which hand.
Who is it?
Lewis, it's Erwin.
Erwin?
Your father-in-law. Lewis, are you all right?
Sorry, Erwin. I've just woken up.
Did Rachel make it home last night?
Rachel.
She should be with you by now. Isn't she there?
No, she's not.
Damn. She insisted on flying back. She must have missed a connection.
What's the matter?
It's Ellie. She had a terrible dream. We had to take her to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Tracks. Small, muddy tracks. Leading to the far side of the bed. Gage had been here in the night.
Lewis? Lewis, are you there? Lewis!
Sorry, it's a poor line. What were you saying about Ellie?
She had a bad dream. A whole series of them. She was hysterical. We had to take her to the hospital.
Did they sedate her?
I gave her a pill, yes. She went back to sleep. She's sleeping now.
Did she say what scared her so badly?
Ellie said... I gave Dory quite a turn. I can tell you she was almost hysterical herself. She said Oz, the great and terrible, had killed her mother. Just like that. The way Zelda used to say it. Lewis, have you told Ellie about Zelda? Lewis, are you there?
Will she be all right? What did the doctor say?
Delayed shock. When she wakes up, she might not remember anything. Lewis, when Rachel gets there, make her come back. And you must come with her. Your son is dead, Lewis, but your daughter is very much alive and she needs you.
Yeah. Thanks, Erwin. We'll do that. Just as soon as we can. Did Ellie say anything else?
Only one other thing I could make out. She said, Pascal says it's too late.
I hung up the phone. Gage's tracks led to my medical bag. My scalpel was missing. I remembered the dream I'd had just before waking. It involved Judd and Rachel. They were screaming. There was a flashing blade and blood. So much blood. Across the road, I saw a strange car parked behind Judd's van. It looked like a rental.
Rachel's here.
Why don't you kill yourself? You've got all you need in your bag. Needles, morphine. Why don't you do it? Now.
I would. But I need this for something else. Gage is still out there.
When I crossed the road, I saw a church curled up on the roof of the rental car. He stretched and looked at me out of his dull yellow eyes.
Hi, Church. Want some grub? This is Red Skull. These days I get Steve to give the injections. Glad to see I haven't lost my touch.
So Church was dead. Again. I glanced into the car as I passed. Rachel's purse and scarf were on the seat.
Gage? Gage?
I followed the tracks. Grave dirt left by Gage's small feet, crisscrossed by paw prints in something dark and sticky.
Across the road. You're the dog, ain't you?
Yes. Lewis Creed. This is my wife, Rachel. My daughter, Ellie, and the kid with the bee sting is Gage.
Well, good to know you all.
I'd once seen Norma take a linen tablecloth from a drawer. I found it now and spread it over Judd's body. Tiny petals of deepest scarlet began to stain the white lawn.
Gage? Gage? Oh, my gosh.
My wife was lying halfway down the landing.
Dear God.
The way she was propped against the wall, she might have dozed off reading in bed, except for the blood.
Hello, Daddy. You come to play.
No, you don't!
I was on him, straddling him, one knee pinning the hand that held the scalpel. As I clawed for the hypos, the thing underneath me bucked and strained like a greased fish. It nearly threw me off. The first needle went in, and its face changed into Judd's face, dead and staring. The ruined bloody mask of Victor Pascal. Myself, pale and mad. I jabbed another syringe into Gage's arm and pushed the plunger right down. The frantic struggles grew less. Stopped. And for a moment I saw the face of my son. My real son. Unhappy and full of pain.
Hush, little baby, don't you cry. You know your mama was born to die. All my trials, Lord, soon be over.
When I first saw the smoke, I thought it was Lou's place burning. His luck had been shot to hell ever since Victor Pascal died in his arms on the floor of our infirmary. But when I got closer, I saw it was the house of the old guy across the street. I pulled in, dismounted, and put the Harley on its kickstand.
How'd it happen?
Dunno. Maybe Judd fell asleep with a cigarette.
I crossed the road. Though if Lewis was at home, surely he'd be out there with the others. Then I glimpsed something. Behind Lewis's house, a neatly mown path vanished into the woods. And there, for the briefest moment, I thought I saw a man carrying a large white bundle.
Lewis?
Lou! Lewis!
I hardly noticed the graves, the scraps of board and slate. My eyes were fixed on the far side of the clearing, where Lewis was climbing a deadfall in outright defiance of gravity.
Lou! Lou! Didn't you hear me calling?
Hello, Steve.
Lewis stopped. His hair was white. His face was that of an old, old man.
Come with me, Steve. Help me carry her.
What happened, Lou? Was she in the fire?
I waited too long with Gage and something got into him. It'll be different with Rachel. I know it will. I could use some help, Steve.
I could never climb that.
Just follow me, Steve. Don't falter. Don't hold on to anything. Don't look down. It has to be done quick and sure, and it has to be done today.
I'm coming, Lou. I'm coming.
Your voices.
Lewis, please tell me.
But it's just the loons down south towards Prospect. The sound carries.
It was so close. I felt a magnet out in those woods, pulling at something in my brain, dragging me towards God knows what. Then it just stopped. Lost interest in me. I never went back to Ludlow. A few months later, I got a job in Denver, Colorado, and left Maine for good.
That afternoon, the police came and asked questions. Smoke still rose from the ashes across the road. I spoke to the police outside. I wore a hat, so they didn't see my white hair.
Red 7 on the black 8. Ace of clubs out. Take up the king.
I kept my hands out of sight, too, because they were bloody and ruined.
Black 8 on the red 9. Ace of hearts out. 2 of clubs.
Black queen on the red king.
Rachel.
My darling.
In Pet Sematary by Stephen King, dramatized for radio by Gregory Evans. John Sharion was Lewis. Bryony Glasgow, Rachel. Lee Montague, Judd. And Sarah Benishew, Ellie. Stuart Milligan was Steve. Helen Horton, Norma. Mark Bonner, Victor Pascal. And Alice Arnold, Holly. William Roberts was Erwin Goldman. Liza Ross, Dory. Kerry Shale, Timmy Bateman. Gordon Stern, Bill Bateman. And Alan Tilven, Hannibal Benson. Garrick Hagen was the minister. Ewan Meredith, the undertaker. Shirley Dixon, Missy Dandridge. Colleen Prendergast, Kim. Sean Baker, George. Erin Williams, Zelda. And Percy Helm, Gage. Technical presentation was by Peter Ringrose, Lee Sperry, and Jonathan Glover. And the production assistants were Miriam Soupy and Charlotte Barker. Original music was by David Chilton and Nick Russell-Pavier. Pet Sematary was directed by Gordon House.
This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.